Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tyler.
I'm Vivian.
I'm Christian.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Garrett.
I'm Sophia.
And we had the book Lay That Trumpet in Our Hands. The book Lay That Trumpet in Our Hands is about Florida in the 1950s and a young girl named Reese's family's fight against the local Klan.
The book starts when Reese's best friend Marvin goes missing, and after a few hours they find him dead in the back of a pickup truck.
After Marvin's death, the FBI opened an investigation, even though everyone knew it was the Klan. Later, Risa went to a diner with her brothers Ren and Michael and her grandmother Dodo. They saw the sheriff talking about Marvin's death.
Marvin's death was captured in these lines. Well, Reed, he was hopping mad, called those boys a bunch of morons, told them this boy's mama works in his house, and now what were they going to do? J.D. Bowman, y'all know that crazy Opalaki boy, just got back from Korea. Well, J.D., he just laughed, pulled out his pistol, and shot that N-word, hard R, boy in the head. Problem solved.
Reese's McMahon's family didn't know it at the time, but Marvin's death would lead to the horror throughout Florida for the next year.
Throughout the next year, the Klan would kill innocent people in cold blood, all because they opposed their political views, and the worst part was that the police weren't going to do a single thing about it.
Risa is completely shaken up by Marvin's death. Imagine your best friend was shot for playing in the dong area. Risa would have been just fine if the man who did this was put away, except for the cops didn't care, which meant the man who killed Marvin was free, like nothing happened.
So how would you guys feel if your best friend got shot for no reason and the man that did it got to walk away like nothing happened?
If someone shot my best friend for no reason, I would be devastated for their death. It would also make me feel unsafe for the person who killed them to not be put in prison and to just be living their life like nothing happened.
If a situation like that happened to me, I would feel miserable knowing that a tragedy like that happened to my best friend. I would do anything to try to help get justice for their death, considering the police wouldn't do anything.
How would you feel, Christian?
I would feel absolutely terrible, and I would lose all hope and faith in the police department.
After Marvin's death finally gets accepted by Risa, the Klan's disgusting actions don't stop, and the continuing terror starts with something a little different than you would expect.
On a hot day in August, the McMahon family is simply sitting in their office, and all of a sudden, four cars come flying down the street. The first car is driven by a black man who looks terrified. Behind him are three cars. Everyone in the cars are wearing the ghostly white robes of the KKK. The worst part about this was that this would just be the start of the terror that would follow the McMahons for the next several months.
Throughout the next few months, the KKK bombed churches, museums, anything that opposed their political views, even though all of this was terrible. Nothing the Klan did directly affected the McMahon family until one day when Reese's brother, Ren, was playing in what he thought was a safe place.
Ren was playing with his friend, Petty, out in that country by a sinkhole, and they spotted some men wearing white robes and pointy hats, and naturally as a kid, Ren decided to make fun of them. After that, one of the Klansmen shot directly at Ren and barely struck him on the head.
Ren explained the whole story to his dad, and of course Mr. McMahon was upset, so he made a plan to get rid of the Klan forever.
Mr. McMahon's initial plan is to use all the dynamite he has, go to the sinkhole where the Klan is, and light it up like the 4th of July. However, the FBI show up to their house with a different plan. They want Mr. McMahon to go in and grab all the record books he can find in order to expose the Klan for good.
Mr. McMahon knows he can't do this alone. He needs help, but all the people in his family are too young or too old. However, the worker of the McMahon family, Grove, is perfect, and sure enough, he volunteers himself.
The worker's name is Robert, and on a Friday night, he and Mr. McMahon, with the help of Marvin's dad, Luther, carry out the FBI's orders. All the family can do is wait and hope that Robert and Mr. McMahon stay alive.
Finally, Robert and Mr. McMahon return home with a list of everyone in the clan and all the terrible things they have done.
After the news is delivered to the FBI, many of the clansmen are put away. However, some of them are still free, and they know that Mr. McMahon was the one that turned them in. And for that, and for the next month, the clan tries to hunt them down.
The McMahon family now has to travel as a pack. Everyday things like going to the store become family bonding exercises. If even one of them travels alone, they risk being targeted by the clan. There's no telling what the clansmen will do to them if they find them alone. Everything goes smooth and nothing happens until one day when the McMahon family is coming home from eating at a restaurant. They spot two men hiding behind their trash cans as if they're waiting for the McMahons to get out of the car. Mr. McMahon grabs his shotgun from the back seat, because, you know, keeping a shotgun by a bunch of kids is a smart idea. He grabs a shotgun, and one of the men hiding behind the trash can notices. They bolt. Mr. McMahon's instinct is to shoot, but he doesn't. No one knows why. It's clear now that the McMahon family is being hunted by the clan, and everyone knows it. So Mr. McMahon decides to go into town and have a conversation with the head of the clan, Mr. Emmett Castleton. Mr. McMahon simply explains his experiences with Mr. Castleton and tells him that he cannot tolerate them any longer. Castleton just stares right back at him as if nothing's going on. Mr. McMahon says Castleton's done a lot of bad things, and now it's Mr. McMahon's turn, so unless he wants something bad to happen, he should probably knock it off. Castleton still doesn't seem to care. So Mr. McMahon says, "Okay, wait here. I'll be back," and leaves. What happens next is pretty cool. Mr. McMahon grabbed all the dynamite that he could carry and took it out to the family grove. He planted each stick in the ground and blew it up. Every last bit of it, he blew it up. It created a big sinkhole in the ground, and water shot straight up out of it. You could see the water from the town, and Emmett Castleton could see the water shooting up, and he realized what Mr. McMahon had done, and he laughed as a sign of a truce. So both men were on the same page. They weren't going to harm each other. That was how the book ended. I really felt that even though this book was boring, it opened my eyes to what life was like back then in that time, and just being a black person living in that era was just, could not have been fun. And I even though my book was really, really boring, I think that it was still a good read, because I feel that me and my entire group feel that it really opens your eyes to what life was like and all the things that people had to go through. Whether even if you weren't just colored, if you were white, you could be the brother of someone in the clan and you'd still be in danger. There's no one that's safe. So I think that I would definitely recommend this book to anyone that has an interest in reading it, and I think that it's just a good book that should be passed through this generation, and I just like it. I mean, it was boring, but still a good read. Like, what more could you ask for? Thanks for listening to our podcast. I hope you're still awake. I understand it wasn't the most exciting thing ever, but thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Give us a listen again soon. Thank you.